You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
Hi, I'm Joe Iconis.
And I'm Jennifer Ashley Tepper.
On today's episode of the Album Podcast, we're going to be talking about Sympathy for the Killer, which is a song that is kind of in the world of the horror movie songs that exist on the album, but it's less about one horror movie and more just about the idea of the victims in horror movies.
You are going to get to listen to an amazing rendition of the song as sung by Liz Lark Brown with a 1930s themed arrangement from Charlie Rosen. Very hep.
It's very hep. It's hep for Halloween, as the kids would say. Check it out. We agreed to our roles, and we may not be a couple
goals. You have got a taste to feed, and darling, I'm a Sympathy for the Killer.
Yeah.
This is such a dramatically different song than the mm-hmm. last few songs we've been talking about. Yeah. It's like in a different style musically.
It is, yeah. You know, this Sympathy for the Killer is a weird one. It's not done all that much, and it's a song that I wasn't sure I wanted to include on the album. And then when I decided, I it's one of the few that I rewrote a little bit mm-hmm. for the album, just because what I was trying to say with the song, I feel like maybe wasn't totally clear in its first version. And mm-hmm. so I just wanted to clarify a little bit. And it's basically in that the second verse, mm-hmm. The lines about therapy and stuff. But yeah, you know, Sympathy for the Killer is kind of an intentionally messy song about a person who is kind of playing the victim. And is playing the victim whether for reasons that are either because of herself, it's because she has cast herself in this role, or because society has cast her in this role, and it's like which one of those two things is it? And it's probably both of those things. And you know, so that's sort of like what I wanted to write about. And I think I saw many people I knew at the time when I first wrote it, who were sort of in these relationships, and not even just romantic relationships, but you know, friendships and stuff. And I certainly felt that myself, where it was like you're in these, you know, these relationships where you're just you're being abused, and how hard it is to get out of an abusive relationship, whether that abuse is emotional or physical or monetary or whatever. And that sort of terrible cycle of recognizing this is happening. I'm aware it's happening, and I am complicit in allowing it to happen, but I can't get out of it, you know? Which I think is a very real thing for very many people. Mm-hmm. And then I liked the idea of using the framework of one of the victims in these horror movies that I love watching and I love writing about, you know. And it's like the idea of are these people like putting something out in a way that allows, you know, Michael Myers or Jason Voorhees or whoever, Freddy Krueger, to come after them? Or is it just, you know, is it just dumb luck? Or, you know, what is it? What is that actual relationship? And then because that idea feels so sort of like contemporary, you know, it feels so like examining, oh, why are we in these relationships that we're in? Again, be they, you know, romantic or you know, friends or professional, whatever. Why are we in these things? And how do we end up here? And how do we navigate them? That feels like such a, you know, sort of modern thing to question that. I like the idea of using a musical style of the past mm-hmm. and to have it feel like this sort of, you know, 1940s mm-hmm. jazzy, yeah. you know, tune that, like, if you didn't hear the lyrics of Sympathy for the Killer, you know, you might, if you just heard the music, it would totally fit in as, like, you know, background music and, like, you know, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel or something,
yeah,
right?
Totally.
It's like, it's that kind of like nightclub 40s vibe, which also I think is, you know, is also kind of saying that this is a, this this problem or this situation that the song is depicting is, you know, it's like tale as old as time. It's like, it's something that's been around forever. We're just kind of like talking about it now.
Was this song written like on Liz Lark Brown's voice?
This song, it was, yeah. I wrote this for Liz Lark Brown, yeah.
Mm. When was like the first time she performed it?
She performed it at the Beachman. I don't know if it would have been a Halloween concert or not. I bet it was. And it was probably like 2000 and... I think this was like 2000... This might have been 2010, actually.
I guess
like
it's 9 or 10. Big year for you writing a lot of songs.
I wrote so many songs.
It does, now that we're talking about it, I'm like, oh, I guess it's sort of related to Hatchet Job, or maybe I just feel that way because that's another like signature yeah. Liz Lark Brown song that's yeah. related to killing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's a lot of Liz Lark Brown songs that I've written that are related to killing or Maynard, you know. I mean, Liz is just like, she's such a great musical comedy performer. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, she has this like, this gorgeous voice that works so well in, you know, like a lot of people on the album, that works so well in the world of kind of like rock and pop, but also classic musical theater. But Liz, like, there's something about her voice, she's a gorgeous deep voice, that it feels like it's like Chantusi, you know? It's like, it's something that is like, it feels like kind of from another time in the best way. And so I think I really like giving her stuff that plays against the sort of like classicness of her voice. You know, it's like, what would it, you know, what would it be like if some of the great singers of the 40s and 50s and 60s could sing, you know, content that they never would have been allowed to sing in the 40s
and totally.
The 60s, you know? And so so for me, because her voice is so sort of gorgeous, and because it immediately takes you to this place of like, you know, like a smoking nightclub, or like a, you know, an old sort of, you know, beautiful gilded theater, I feel like I, time and time again, when I write for her, I want to return to images of like blood and murder and monsters and things like that, that feel really at odds with, you know, what her voice just kind of sounds like
yeah.
when she lets it rip. Yeah, and this is another like amazing Charlie Rosen arrangement that, like, you know, what I love about his work always, but on this song in particular, it doesn't like tip its hat to the horror of the content of the song. It really allows itself to just exist in this kind of old-timey place, which then allows the content to be the thing that is sitting to, you know, slightly to the left of that.
Totally. It's also, I feel like even when you hear this just with piano, you can intuit the style that we're talking about, the 1940s and mm-hmm. all of that, but it's so exciting to hear it with an instrumentation. Like, it's just, it really makes you feel like you're there.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. And, you know, I think because there are so many songs on this album that are from the point of view of, I mean, like killers, you know, or killers or monsters or whatever. I like the idea of having a, just addressing the fact that there are, you know, there are victims of those people.
Yeah.
And even though this song, I do not think is, you know, it's, I think it's, there's a lot going on, and it's not like, you know, it's definitely not like justice for the victims of you know, of werewolves.
Sure.
There's more to it, but it's just sort of like hearing from that other side and kind of acknowledging the weird sort of, you know, symbiotic relationship where it's like, you have to, you know, in order for there to be a villain, there has to be a victim, you
sure.
know, and vice versa.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Killer, Monster, or whatever. The sequel to Loser Geek.
Yeah. I also, I feel like I need to give a shout out to Molly Hager, who does some creepy backups.
Yeah.
And I think the creepy backups are, I always think of that as like the audience watching the movie. You know, mm-hmm. It's like that is performing the role of the enablers, mm-hmm. who are, you know, kind of either the reason for it or certainly not helping it. You know, the kind of like reacting, the like, aw, and it's like both sympathizing with the victim and wanting to see her get carved up, which I think is such a strange thing about horror movies and relationships. You know, the people who are counseling the person in the bad relationship, it's like there is this sense of like, you know, living off of someone else's drama and living off of someone else's misfortune. And so I think that's an element that's in the tune,
yeah,
as well.
That's the sympathy for the killer. I was trying to, it's okay.
No, it was good. I was just giving a look, but.
Oh, sympathy for the killer.
Hey, thanks so much for listening or watching to my podcast. Do me a favor and go to wherever you just listen to or watch this thing and subscribe or like or give us a great rating or review, and then head to bpn.fm/album to find out even more information about this podcast, more ways to watch, more ways to listen, and check out my album, Album. Thanks so much for hanging out.
Album Podcast is executive produced by Liz Armstrong, produced by Dori Berenstein, Alan Seals, Kim Garris, and the rest of the team at the Broadway Podcast Network. Be sure to visit bpn.fm/album for both audio and video versions of this podcast and to listen to Album.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at SuppsMusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.